Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks podcast series film session. It's Friday, July 22nd. We're here in the Classic Factory, and today we're reviewing the 2022 biographical sports drama Rise about Giannis Antetokounmpo and his family. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, we got Tass Mellis.
What an intro from J.D. I never noticed the of the woman eating popcorn.
Too much popcorn, it says. Too much. We got our Top Shot Hot Boy, Trey Kirby. Making the magic happen over yonder. Our resident film critic, JD.
Hello.
There he is. And our special guest today, all the way from Greece. No, I'm kidding. Joining us thanks to the power of technology. He's in California. He's back like he never left. It's Matty O.
Oops,
that's me. Okay, you're unmuted.
Okay,
now,
go ahead.
Okay, great. Here to disappoint people that thought Giannis would be on this podcast.
Well, he could still pop in. You never know.
Sorry, I didn't reach out. I did not reach out.
What?
I can't believe you didn't.
I didn't think I had the pull. I'm underestimating myself, I suppose. But he's on vacation. He's vacationing more than Lialis. He is circumventing the globe right now.
You didn't reach out to Harris or Kevin or Paco, even maybe has his number still? Yeah. No?
I reached out to Kevin and he said, I didn't belong in the movie, so I'm not coming on.
He said, I'll show up 5/6 of the way through and get everything finished there right at the end.
Okay. Shout out to the stream team for joining us live right now on YouTube. Take a second, hit the like button, especially if you liked the movie Rise. Hit that like button, subscribe, comment, and share the show with your friends. Email in your questions and comments about this movie Rise or anything NBA related to nodunks@theathletic.com. Grab your No Dunks merch. I see TK dropping a classic No Dunks /starters t-shirt available at nodunks.com. Immaculate items always available there. Hoodies, t-shirts, mugs, and all that. And subscribe to The Athletic. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. Okay, well, we're pumped to have Matty O here to break down Rise, released recently, June 2022, straight to Disney Plus. Okay, this did not hit theaters, but it went to the service, Disney Plus. Director, I'm going to apologize in advance. I'm probably going to butcher a lot of names here, but I'm going to try my best. Director Akin Omotosho, a Nigerian film director, writer, and actor. This one stars in the two brother roles there of Giannis and Thanasis. We've got Uche and Ral Agata, real-life brothers, playing the brothers, elder brothers, at least,
really
in this
cool
movie.
Actually.
Yeah, sort of cool. And then we have Dayo Okanini and Yatide Badaki as the father and mother, respectively. And you're pretty prominent roles in this movie. Your synopsis, your little breakdown, if you haven't watched this, it's based on the real-life story about the family that produced the first trio of brothers to become NBA champions in the history of the league. So we all watched this over the last week or so, including Matty O, and I just want to start with you, Matt. What did you think of Rise? And what were your expectations heading into it as well?
Well, I had no expectations, and what I was concerned about when you told me this was the movie that we were doing was, is it going to be a real movie? And what I mean by that, is it going to be kind of like Thunderstruck, you know, like a vanity project that's maybe a money grab that is like, I don't think Thunderstruck was made by Disney, but, you know, a Disney-fied kind of movie that's for kids and is not super interesting, both tonally or aesthetically. Mm-hmm. So that's what I was worried about. Is this going to be a real movie? Now, the movie starts with that sort of like grainy Super 8 footage of Giannis's parents leaving Nigeria, you know, leaving their oldest son there while they go to try to make a living in Europe. Then it has that scene of them escaping the police in Istanbul, which is, you know, legitimate tension. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the cop walks in and says, oh, this place is such a dump, when it's like sort of like, you know, they're living there. And then you have that shot of them walking into Greece with the silhouetted by the huge sun behind them. And anyways, I guess I'm not going to go into a synopsis. All I'm trying to say is at the start, it's like, okay, this is a real movie.
All right. We got ourselves a movie.
Yeah.
We've got ourselves a movie. And then about 25 minutes in, as soon as they pick up a basketball, it became exactly what I was worried it was going to be at the start. It's like a paint by numbers, all the sort of tension just dragged out of it. No punch, no oomph. No zets. Which made it ultimately into somehow they made a really boring movie about a person's or a family's life that has all the stakes and all the, you know, rich thematic content you could want out of a story and just makes it about as bland as possible. I mean, I'm sure we're going to talk about favorite scenes. I don't remember a single scene from this movie past the 25 minute mark and then before. The end when they go to the draft.
So, wow, it never got you back then. As soon as the basketball started happening, you were tuned out. I didn't even think there was that much basketball in this movie either. Right? Trey?
No, well, I don't want to make it seem like, oh, because they were playing basketball, I wasn't interested. Yeah. It was just some of the most boringly filmed basketball scenes ever.
Mm. Trey, do you agree?
Well, I mean, the most tense parts, no doubt about it, were at the beginning when Giannis's parents leave Nigeria and then... when there's the raid where they're living in Turkey yeah. as well. So no doubt those are the most tense parts, but I had the exact same feelings going in as Matt. Like, this is going to be a Disney movie because it's on Disney and we do know the story of what happened and it feels like a Disney movie. Like, what a unique path to superstardom that Giannis has taken. Nobody has had a story like this. But still, I was a little bit pleasantly surprised. I had very low expectations going in, expecting to hate this movie. Seeing that it was a real movie, I thought was good. I don't necessarily know that it has a lot of replay value for me, mm-hmm. but watching it the one time, I was happy to have watched it.
Tass, what do you think?
Yes, the most drama was at the beginning. I will agree with that. And then the rest of the drama was sort of dragged out, but there was drama throughout. The middle hour, I guess, is what the big complaint is here. The first 25 minutes, there was, the deportation instances. And then there's multiple instances of him, of Charles, the dad, possibly being deported because mm-hmm. he doesn't have his papers. And so that was very real rather than very dramatic. The scenes in the immigration center where he goes, I think, probably three times throughout this film, where there are some cool shots. I like the overhead sort of bird eye view in the immigration center. A nice apotheke, if you will, JD, a very large apotheke.
Yes.
It became real rather than, the real 1-2-3 punch of the beginning, which I was happy about because I think it really reeled in. It could have been super slow. It could have really hit you over the head with a lot of Francis Antetokounmpo, their first son that they left. I don't think they played on that too much at all, really. And one of the moving scenes was Yanni's talking to his mom about it a little bit later on. Mm-hmm. But it slowed down for sure. Could it have been shorter? Yes. But the drama, I think, him being deported throughout the movie and obviously the draft, we could have cut some stuff.
It was an hour 50 plus, this movie, but I got to be honest, didn't feel like it was dragging a lot of the time. And I think some of that is credit to the actor, especially playing the mom and dad, Vera and Charles there. I thought they were really the movie, if we're being honest. Mm-hmm. We'll get in, I'm sure, to the kids they got to play, Giannis and Thanasis. And you guys didn't even know they were brothers, so... I don't know what that says about their chemistry and all that. But anyway, I thought the parents were incredible. I hear what you're saying, Matt, though. Like, the drama as it went on was like, them sort of fleeing the police when they're selling trinkets after, they're just trying to make a living. There was the whole, like, them getting locked out of their apartment. Mm-hmm. And there was, there's that. There's this idea of like, we have to stay together. Which agent are we going with? There's that dilemma. They're not as high stakes for sure as the start of the movie, and nor really should they be. But JD, let's get your sort of overhead view of this movie to get in here.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you guys are saying. Whoops, that's not right. I agree with everything you guys are saying. I agree with Matt that it started off really strong. The whole leaving Lagos and going through Turkey and winding up in Sapolia is harrowing, I would think. I would say, even though that's not exactly what happened to them, that's what happens to a lot of people who are, you know, trying to leave one country illegally and entering another one to look for a better life. So yeah, I was in right away. I mean, let's be honest, I was in right away anyways, because I've met Giannis, and I think this is the only biopic of a person that I've actually met before, which,
wow.
And it actually leads up to about a 4 or 5 months before Tass and I spent half an afternoon with him, you know, so I had a vested, a personal connection.
Were you hoping there was going to be a scene where you and Tass were being played by two actors?
Yeah. Yes. I was excited to see who would be playing me.
Who would be playing JD?
That's right. But I also agree that, you know, it's at the end of the day, it's a Disney movie. It inspired me enough to want to learn more about Giannis's story. So I did start reading Miran Feder's book, Giannis, The Improbable Rise of an NBA MVP, I believe it's called. And there's just a way more to the story. And the more I read that book, the more disappointed I was with the movie. I mean, I thought it was fine. I thought it was like a pleasant little time waster, as my dad would say. And it was inspiring. And, you know, but there could have been so much more. There was so much more suffering that the Antetokounmpos went through. There was so much drama that was there. And I think they missed a lot of opportunities to show that on one hand. But on the other hand, it's a straight to Disney Plus movie. Yeah. And Giannis himself is an executive producer on it. It just feels like a love letter to his father, like a tribute to Charles, which, you know, it got me, especially when we cut to at the very end of the movie, when we cut to Giannis in his MVP speech and he's paying tribute to his father. And it's just like, yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, I didn't know much about Charles Antetokounmpo before this movie, or Veronica for that matter. So I enjoyed it for that, but it was kind of boring, and they missed a lot of opportunity, I thought.
Matt, did you know about the fifth Antetokounmpo brother in Francis?
I
think I knew somewhere in the back of my head that I knew about him, but maybe I had forgotten, because it's a little confusing, Tass. I think you were sort of alluding to it at the beginning, like, it's like, who, wait, what kid is that? Which one is that? Because like, they sort of like, they gloss over it. I actually liked how they did it, because it was like, okay, then we come back to it, and Giannis is like actually asking, like, where is he? Why did you do that? So Matt, you didn't know heading into this movie that there's Francis, the older brother. He played a little soccer, and now he's a musician. Had some songs in this movie, actually.
Yeah, well, but that's like a credit to the movie that they didn't feel the need to over-explain at the start. Like, you see them leaving, you see them handing over the baby, you're kind of like, okay, I don't fully understand what's happening here. And they reveal it slowly, trusting the audience that, like, you know, it'll come back around. They don't need to explain everything to you. But you know, you're talking about it being a Disney movie as if, like, that's an excuse. Like, oh, well, but it's a Disney movie. But Miracle, like the movie about the Miracle on Ice, is a Disney movie based on a true story. So is Remember the Titans. Like, I'm happy to be manipulated into, like, a tear-jerking, go-for-the-heartstrings Disney movie. I just can't believe that they couldn't find that in this story. I didn't cry once, and I cry at every sports movie. The only time
point.
I cried in this movie was Giannis's real MVP speech at the end.
Yeah, right? Same.
So what were the moments that they missed, JD, that you got out of the book that they could have depicted in this movie that were a little bit more dramatic?
Yeah, great question, Tass. There is a scene in the book where it's not exactly when they first arrived in America. It's actually when Giannis first arrives in Milwaukee and Thanasis arrives with him. And they book in a fabulous hotel, I'm sure. I'm not sure which hotel. But they book them two separate rooms, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and the brothers were like, Why would you even do that? Like, why would you bother with two separate rooms?
How are we supposed to jump on the beds together if we're in separate
exactly.
rooms?
Exactly. But not only that, though, they ended up, Thanasis moves into Giannis's room, and not only that, but they sleep in the same bed. Which would have been, you know, like
that's
a really
such a great character moment, like in Castaway when they get Tom Hanks. He's in the bed at the end, and then the camera pans over, and he's just lying on the floor next to the bed.
Exactly. I mean, it wouldn't even need any dialogue, but it's just like something visual, something stunningly visual that would just illustrate how close and tight they are as a family. And then, of course, you know, the assimilation into American life was not easy for Giannis, you know, according to the book. And I'm not saying that
that's where it cuts off.
I know. Like, they had to make some choices here, obviously. And the point of it was he got drafted, and that completely changed the life of all of the Antetokounmpos, including Francis. And, at the end of the day, that's what the movie is about. But that's just one example of something that, it just could have been better. And honestly, this book came out last August, I think. And I think if they waited a year and then had this as a resource to adapt or whatever, I mean, that could have been. No,
that's a great point. But I guess that also wasn't the mission, right? I mean, it's Giannis's. It has two filters on it. It has the Giannis producing it filter, and then it has the Disney filter on top of that.
Right.
But that's so disappointing that. That would have been a great scene, because there is a scene in the hotel room when they come to America, and all you get from it is Giannis saying, I'm going to take the longest shower in the world.
Right.
Which is Disney code for jerking off.
And that's what happens when the water gets cut off, right? It's a callback to that, obviously.
Yeah.
So do you think that's what Veronica was saying to Giannis? Giannis, it's like you're washing all of Athens off of you.
I honestly did think.
I did too, to be honest.
Maybe that's why he slept at the gym.
Sorry, where else is he going to jerk off? I mean, like,
that's why he slept at the gym.
At the gym.
He slept at the gym occasionally.
Oh, that's why he was asleep in that scene at the start. He got there to put some shots up, jerked off, and was like, oh man, I could use a lie down.
Listen, we also
not expecting that.
We also got the jumping on the bed scene, which actually did take place.
Oh,
that
okay.
actually did happen. Him and Thinesse, and they talked about it on the Watch Pod. That did like a three-part series on Giannis's draft. Once upon a time, the jump in was real. I am surprised that they didn't extend it to the year, because it is all about family.
That's the thing. Jamie said it. This movie is not really about Giannis.
But I'm surprised because in 2014,
it's a love letter to Charles and his mama.
2014, the family comes over. He has a season in Milwaukee where he's alone.
Yeah.
And so I'm surprised it didn't end with another family huddle right at the end in 2014 when they get the visas and they come over. That was kind of surprising to me, because
Rise 2.
Honestly, though, that is a full movie. Like, that him arriving in America and his first couple of years at the Bucks is honestly you could make an entire movie of.
Oh, definitely. You even get the joke where they do like a coming to America joke when they finally arrive in America. Fish out of water stuff would have been really funny to see. And honestly, maybe the movie could have used it, because now that Matt mentioned Remember the Titans, I loved that movie when it came out. There were many laughs in Remember the Titans. There were many like comical moments. I didn't feel like there was a ton of levity in this. And, you know, maybe some fish out of water stuff would have been an avenue to see some jokes. And it would have probably sped up the first half of the movie to Giannis getting drafted. But, you know, I mean, you just kind of have to choose where you're cutting off where the rise stops, because like they could have just kept letting him rise until he eliminates the Phoenix Suns and wins the championship with 50 points. Like, it was a pretty steady rise the entire time if he really wanted to keep going for it. But I guess they just wanted the draft angle, though. I would have liked some Milwaukee stuff as well.
Yeah.
Would you how many jokes are in this movie? How many like actual trying to make a joke jokes? I think there's only one.
Okay, well, there's the coming to America line, which they really like they just like slip it in there. I think it's the Good Morning My Neighbors. Uh-huh. And that's like it's like very quick.
Thanasis made another joke, I think, but
what do you got, Matt?
There's their coach says, "What is a 76er, a 76er?"
Yeah, yes, okay. Yeah.
I think that's the only joke in it.
There's no joke when they're playing basketball.
Yeah, there's other parts that I found funny, but they were not jokes.
Yeah. I found everything to do with Harris with one R. Everything about him I found funny. And you were saying he's not a real guy in real life. I mean, yeah. He obviously had agents that helped him out.
He had two agents. He had two agents. Maybe they just wanted to make him one guy.
Right.
And then maybe they had an ode to two agents when they brought in Kevin.
Kevin,
which was the American counterpart to Harris, which was interesting. Maybe they just didn't want to have two there. But yeah, Harris had that haircut was a little odd. You know, he's a little frumpy, I guess, was the character. But I wanted Kevin to introduce himself as Kevin Mignon. That would have been good. That's my favorite Kevin of the last 6 months watching movies. It's another Disney movie.
Kevin Mignon.
That's another Disney movie.
Kevin Mignon.
Yeah, so is there a minion named Kevin? I guess there is.
He introduced himself as Kevin Mignon.
Oh, the Rise of Gru.
There's a real crossover with Rise and Rise of Gru. Yeah,
exactly. Right.
I was a little confused. Like
Kevin Mignon.
I was confused of the look.
Kevin Mignon. It sounds like you're saying filet mignon.
Yeah, I know. Well, I think that's the point of Kevin.
Oh, okay. That's Kevin.
He's a meaty character.
Steak joke.
I was a little confused, like the loyalty they had to Harris, like, you know, because
unearned, completely.
Yeah,
unearned.
Totally unearned.
Oh, like, come on, no one would ever give him a shot.
But like,
and Harris stepped up.
We had like one minute exactly. of him with the family, yeah. And then here comes Paco because he's like, okay, I was wrong. Here's 5,000 euros. Here's your passports. Let's do this. And then they're just like, no, nah, man, we love Harris. That guy, he knows a guy named Kevin Mignon.
When we get back and see Kevin, he knows this guy grew. It's going to be great. We have a nice setup. I was with Charles. I was wanting to sign with Paco at that time, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But shout out to Vera and shout out to Giannis, honestly, being like, no, this guy showed us loyalty.
But, okay, I guess he did, but it wasn't a
he
lot.
He put in a lot of phone calls, man.
Did he?
He said he called every team.
In Europe. Well, that was one of the only times that I did laugh was when Paco says, you know, coming in with his BDE, and he's screaming, I'm the number one scout in this country. I was like, first of all, you're the number one scout in Greece, which
it's
not even the most popular sport. It's not even one of the most popular sport in Greece. Okay. The number one scout in America doesn't walk around screaming, I'm the number one scout in this country.
I also thought it was hilarious when he said that, to the point that I didn't know his character had a name. You guys were saying Paco before the show started. Right. I was like, what? You mean the number one scout in the country? I thought that's what it would say in the credits for that guy. But, you know, he got his comeuppance at the end when Giannis finally got drafted and he had to watch the draft on phone by a stanchion. What a loser.
It was odd when he drove away. He's in his Benz, Mr. Paco. And you just saw a windshield or a window with fingerprints on it. You couldn't even see his face. Yeah. It was just a dirty window.
I didn't notice that. JD, what other things did you like about this movie or the actors in this movie, if you want to talk about the two brothers playing Giannis and Thanasis, or, like I said, the parents there? What jumped out at you? Or nothing?
Nah, what did I like about it?
Did you like Charles and Vera? The
of course, yes.
I thought they were really
I thought
good.
They're obviously the heart and soul of this film. Charles especially, but Veronica as well. They just holding it together, doing their best. The scene with the bureaucrat in the apotheke was appropriately frustrating. Although I will say that a little line would have been helpful to the plot, just basically saying, Veronica even says, our children are Greek. They were born here.
Right.
So the bureaucrat should have had a line that actually doesn't legally make them Greek, which is kind of confusing, I think, to me and a lot of American people, because, you know, if you're born on American soil, you are American. You know, that's where the anchor baby term comes from. And that is not the case in Greece. So when it gets down to the end of the second act and they're trying to get visas, and the audience is just going, OK, well, but they're Greek, so who cares? But that is not the case. So I think they could have had a little bit more exposition there. But I did like the bureaucrat. She was infuriating and frustrating, and that's what we wanted. You know, and it's a gorgeous movie to look at. Like,
I agree.
It's vibrant. It paints Sepolia and Athens in a beautiful light, but also to its detriment, because you're not really seeing the suffering that the Antetokounmpos went through. You know, like hunger being one of them, and I know that's incredibly hard to portray. But the first time we see a shot of the boys, all four boys, they're on a couch playing a PlayStation, and they've just eaten a massive meal. Well, according to Giannis, they never had a TV, and he was so guilt-ridden when he got to Milwaukee when he bought himself he bought himself a PlayStation. He returned it the next day because he was so racked with guilt because of that.
Right.
And that kind of thing, it just really glossed over just their struggle. Same thing with the Golden Dawn makes an appearance, and it's like, okay, good. Yes, they should be in this because at this time, you know, we're talking about a rise of one of the, you know, basically Nazis. A Nazi party is rising in Greece. To the point where the year that he was drafted, or close to the year, they got like 17 seats in the House of in the Greek Parliament or whatever. I'm glad that they made an appearance, but I don't think that we got a real taste of just how there was a lot of racism that they were facing in a country like Greece, and just how precarious their situation was because of that. They literally had, the kids especially, had no nation. It's not like they were citizens of Nigeria either, right? So, you know, when Charles is freaking out, what? They went to play basketball? It's like, I want him in school and I want him where I can see him because we could be deported, we could be separated, and that would be a complete disaster, obviously. Anyways, all that
you
to
have
say,
to imagine that was a crazy struggle in making this movie, editing this movie, of like, how dark are we going?
Right.
How real are we making this? Oh, this is a Disney movie. It's supposed to be light. What a story. It's inspiring.
Totally.
And they can be both, don't get me wrong.
I'm sorry, but like Bambi's mother dies at the beginning of Bambi.
Yeah,
like,
fair enough.
You can show hunger without showing the true, like, really horrific you know, physical and mental effects of it. It'll read as, wow, these people don't have enough money to eat. And I think that's fine. But, I mean, a question for you, JD, based on what you were just saying, or for the rest of you, were there enough villains in this movie? Because there was Paco, two scenes, biggest agent in the country. There was the landlord,
right?
Two scenes. There was the immigration lawyer or functionary, three scenes.
Yeah, right.
You know, there was one, during one game, someone makes one racist you know, remark to Giannis. Like, I don't know if they did a good enough job of externalizing, because obviously the villain is the system, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know if they did a good enough job externalizing that to have conflict and to show what they were really up against, except this vague idea that, you know, they could be deported at any time.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, honestly, that was a big problem with the movie for me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there is no Paco is felt like a note, right? Like, it's just it's probably like exactly what you're saying, Matt. Is just we need some conflict. We need somebody to hate, somebody more than just the bureaucrat, more than just the system. We just need a physical, what do you call it?
Manifestation.
Thank you. Of a villain, right? And and he was such a caricature of a caricature. And but yeah, I agree with you. It's again, going back to my original point, I think that we could have seen their suffering a little more. And the point about Bambi's mother dying, spoiler alert, everybody, is well taken. And and we were talking before that we fired up the cameras here, who is this movie for? I mean, because it's not exactly a kids movie. I was telling Skeets that my 13-year-old or 14-year-old now son watched it, he enjoyed it, but he's a big fan of Giannis and he found it interesting.
Okay.
But you know,
it's for him, I guess.
I guess
teens, I'd
yeah
say.
Teens seems
early, young teens,
right to me.
Right.
Okay, you agree with that? Yeah,
yeah. I understand the sort of push and pull of making it a little bit more heavy, but then you're getting into, you know, the adult.
Right.
It becomes a little less about a kid. But I understand. And yeah, the hunger thing is something that Giannis always has referred to. It sort of lacked how, you know, he was ostracized in his own country and then he was loved in his own country, you know, in 2013, 2014, 2015, has given the papers and he is, it's totally different. I mean, that part, I guess, is left out because of timeline, but also, because of the tone. I don't think they necessarily wanted to go that route. You know, they went, they showed the sharing of the shoes, which, you know, that I did enjoy that because they do talk about that. And maybe they didn't have a TV. It's totally true. I guess they showed them at one time looking at the internet and time ran out.
That was an internet cafe.
Timed out. Yep.
Yeah.
But I was worried the NBA.com site was going to crash on them.
thanks to Schumann.
Yeah, I thought
thanks
that footage, that Magic Johnson footage, was coming through pretty crystal clear there. I was like, damn, what year is this? I guess it makes sense.
2012, I guess?
Yeah.
2011?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tass is right. It's all about the fact that the movie makes a big choice with regards to tone. This is going to be an inspirational movie, all about the hard work you need to achieve whatever it is you're going to be
achieving.
And
the love of family and support.
Exactly,
of family.
Right. Yeah. Keeping your family strong together and working for everything that you get in life, because this is no doubt a good movie for a 13-year-old to see, like, wow, look at all of the struggle that Giannis went through, even if we're not seeing him confronting villains time and time again, just the general sense of foreboding, not to mention the actual work he's putting into his basketball game to learn how to play, him sharing shoes with his brother, him sleeping in the gym so he can be the first one there, all of these different, you know, little scenes from his life. It's all focused on, look at how much he had to work and look at how much he did work to actually get where he is. Look at the work his dad put in to get Giannis and his brothers where they are. So they chose to make an inspirational movie, no surprise, for a Disney movie. But like some of these other movies that Matt's been bringing up, they've made a choice to not just go down that path. And it feels like Rise is focused primarily on the inspiration factor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tass, what did you think of the basketball playing in this movie? Especially our two main actors there, the Agata brothers. Were they believable as Antetokounmpo brothers?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's tough. Giannis has to become good. He didn't really become all that good. He obviously was good enough to be drafted, but it almost happens too fast. His rise from 2008 when he started playing basketball to 2013, like, that's he almost got too good too fast in a way. But I think the actual basketball on the floor was believable. I didn't mind how it was a dirty little gym. Phil Athleticos is not a big program, even though Matt says that basketball isn't appreciated in Greece. That's what you said, Matt. That's what you said about Paco.
It's not the biggest sport. It's not the biggest sport. I can't deny that.
So what? If he's the number one scout of a huge sport, that's something to brag about, Paco.
I'm the number one rugby scout in Canada. Is that something I should be bragging about?
Are you kidding? Greece was the biggest league outside of the U.S. probably in that time when they... When he was watching footage, he was inspired by...
Bigger than Spain?
Bigger than Spain?
Yeah, wow. Back then, yeah. And Spain,
okay. Oh, but you were going to say
back then,
Shaq,
it was like 5 years ago.
No, it was like 2007, 2008 I'm talking about. What do you mean 5 years ago?
Well, it was 10 years ago.
Like 15 years ago. But then it went downhill. Yeah, we had a little bit of a problem financially.
Yeah, I heard that the team went bankrupt, right? The team that Paco wanted to sign him to?
Right, right. And then I did like the scene where the check bounced and Charles was pissed. I liked whenever Charles kissed his teeth. There was a couple of...
Yeah.
He was good at that. He was good, and I like that. And I like how it was a dirty little gym because Philatelicos doesn't have a huge program. So I was fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
One continuity thing, English letters on the back of their jerseys doesn't exist.
Mm.
But whatever.
Okay.
Fair, it was like Greek letters on the front, English letters on the back. It didn't really bother me too much, but it is one thing.
Can you explain that the team that he was playing for? This was a youth team? Like, I was
a
little
couple,
confused.
It's like Ricky Rubio, when you hear him, he played at 13 years of age on one team. Like, there's a youth program and then the men's program, whatever you call
it. Okay,
okay. So he was on
like a feeder system, too. Okay, okay,
exactly.
That's what I thought.
Exactly.
He had to travel a long way to play, though. 80 minutes, is that what they said?
Hour and 20 minutes?
Yeah.
And that's something that I guess JD and Matt are hinting at, that like that struggle every day, not being able to eat, like they were starving and playing basketball for multiple hours.
That's true.
I don't know how
So we saw there's no really good villain like there usually is in a sports movie. Was there a montage in this movie?
There was some small ones, I feel like. Some basketball. There definitely was a small basketball one.
Yeah.
Would you call even selling trinkets sort of? There was like
a montage
feel to that.
Yeah.
When they were, being successful or not. But not a lot for a sports movie, Matt. You wanted more.
I wanted one memorable one, to be honest. Like, yeah, it could be him grinding, hitting, you know, the alarm clock, getting up early. I'm just saying cliches, yeah. But again, to reiterate, I'm happy to have cliches in a sports movie.
Two montages in Hustle.
Right. Yeah.
We got two.
Yeah. Well, actually, Hustle could have stood to like cut the 6 minutes from one of their montages and given it to Rise.
Right. Yeah.
I guess there was the cliche playing in the rain for a while.
Yeah, playing in the rain.
Could have used
new
that.
Shoes playing in the rain.
Could have cut that. That was a classic. Whoa, this is we gotta do this in every basketball movie.
It looks tight. Yeah. It looks pretty cool.
It does look cool. Yeah. But to your point, Tess, I mean that's part of Giannis was not that great when he got to the NBA, and he got good by working hard. And to Matt's point, we didn't see the dozen raw eggs and the get up in the morning. And like we did see him sort of run up the mountain and next to the Acropolis there and do, you know, that was
his little version of Rocky.
It looked cool, but we didn't see the grind and just how much effort he put into
you're
to
right
basketball.
Because we only saw like okay just the one bus ride, you know, to get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the not a lot of basketball, as we've talked about, like even getting better at basketball. There's a couple scenes where he's like shooting around clanking shots. He can't handle a double.
They keep running it on the side.
So a little bit of that, but like I was even confused with the, you guys have brought it up a couple times, like the sleeping in the gym part.
Right.
It was like he was just there, like the one morning, and then Takis, the coach, is like, you know, what
sleep.
Yeah, exactly. He's tired, but yeah, I get what you're saying. It was only just one of that, and maybe this movie would have been helped a little bit with the classic montage that Matt's calling for. Just give us a couple minutes of that repetitive, like, I want this more than everybody else.
We didn't see the boat cruise. That's for sure.
We didn't see the boat cruise.
This is what happened in Hustle.
Right.
We didn't see a lot.
I thought
of
you said
that.
Boat cruise for a second. I was like, we didn't what's see the boat cruise. Part of the honest story? He took a boat to
famous.
Practice?
Boat cruise.
I once had fillet mignon on the boat cruise.
People can't understand me today. And actually, speaking of being able to be understood, I think Giannis Antetokounmpo's accent, his actual accent, is a lot stronger than the actor that they chose.
Yeah.
Which is a good decision, I think. I think it was easier to understand. I mean, I can understand Giannis because we speak the same language, sort of. But I think they made a good decision there. But yeah, we didn't see him getting. It did seem like he got better at basketball pretty quickly. And we couldn't see him eating a dozen raw eggs, JD, because he didn't eat. He didn't live on a farm to get eggs.
Man, I just felt bad, Matt, for that Thanasis in this movie. It's like this guy was the real deal. He was.
I also didn't know that. I didn't know that he was the promising prospect.
Yeah, right.
The original
and that
Greek
he injured
freak.
Himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm. Well, let's just, because we're sort of hinting at it, but to me, one of the things that is like, I cannot get over about this movie. So you have a couple scenes of him playing in that club gym.
Yep.
Which apparently is actually filmed in the place where they actually played.
Mm-hmm.
So now he goes to try out for FIBA. This scene is probably one of the worst in the movie because he's not doing well. Giannis is playing. He's trying out. He's not doing well. The dad says, I can't handle this.
Right,
he goes outside.
Right. Yep.
Then we cut to a slow motion shot of Giannis dunking with no one around him that looks like it could have been like shot in a vacuum or just pulled from a completely different scene. And then you have Thanasis run outside and tell the dad, he killed it.
Dominated.
Right. Yeah.
I'm like, whoa, wait, what? What? How? What? You don't think that's something we should have seen? Like,
that's fair.
But now, then, is there a reason there's not that in the movie? Like, because unfortunately, our actor can't really do that, you know? Believably?
I think that's exactly right.
I sort of do.
I think Thanasis, the actor that plays Thanasis, he can ball.
He can ball.
He looked better as a player.
I agree.
Like, if you're playing one-on-one between the actual two brothers, I think Thanasis has taken this every time.
Okay,
Giannis looks a little out of his league, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
Trey, I did a little research, and apparently that's the opposite, according to Uche.
Wow, really?
He says that Raul used to be better. Well, so it's interesting. Maybe, I don't
know
what he means by used to be.
And then he got a tryout for FIBA.
Well, actually, okay, listen to this. Okay,
this
is from a USA Today interview with Uche and Raul. So the interviewer says, for you guys, as brothers, playing a different set of brothers. I'm wondering how that was for you. Was there any characteristics of their relationship that you saw in your own? Uche says, well, I would say Raul's my older brother, and he played Thanasis, who would be my older brother. But other than that, but he did say that in that same interview, he says that Raul used to be better, and then he kind of stopped playing, and Uche has surpassed him.
Okay.
But now that could be since the movies come out. I don't know.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. And he appears to be taller, just like the real life brothers as well. Mm-hmm. So there maybe is that too.
My favorite part of that scene was they chose to send Thanasis, who was on crutches and could barely walk, all the way till death. He killed it, Dad. When you have two little kids who could just run out there, crazy.
Also weird that they repeated that beat two times, right? Like he's like, I believe in my family the most out of anyone. But then he leaves during the tryout, and then he also leaves during the draft.
Yeah. It's tough to watch. It's like
nerves.
The nerves, yeah. I think that's it.
But wait, just to follow that thought. So then we have the FIBA thing, which is just odd. We don't see him actually doing well. And then the next time we hear about him playing is the scene where Paco comes in. Then they tell him to screw off. Harris comes in and he tells him his plan. He's like, you're going to play for Spain. And they're like, well, is that smart? What if we can't get visas? And he's like, no. You're not going to sign this contract to play in Spain. You're going to sign this contract to declare for the NBA draft. And I literally out loud said, what? Like, I had no idea he was at the point where he was good enough to declare. I was like, this is the part? This is part of the movie?
True.
We're going from not even being sure if he can be in the EuroLeague to coming to play in the NBA?
Yeah, it's just the promise that they saw in him. Yeah. But wait,
well,
hold
then
on.
You didn't
in
do a good enough job of showing us that he had promised.
Yeah, I get that in the movie. You're right. But in real life, this is somewhat similar. Like, it was a shock. This guy that very few people had ever heard of was going as basically a lottery pick. I mean, it was.
No, but the shock was because the people hadn't seen him play, and the only footage they could find of him was like this grainy YouTube stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's
yeah. Yeah,
but I'm saying it was a shock because of that. In this case, it's a shock because we don't even see that he's good at all, and we're supposed
I'm
to be
trying to give you a
life.
Reason why we're not seeing him in this movie, and I do think it's because, like, hey, sorry, we got to try and find the greatest basketball player currently alive. Like, we need a someone to do that that's younger as well. Like, it's like you're asking a lot. Oh, it also helps if you're like 6'10", which, you know, he's not that tall, Uche, but I just think that they made this decision. Like, we got to show basketball. We got to try and convince you that he's becoming better, and then you're right, Matt, it's probably a bit of a stretch to be like, what, this guy's NBA talent, even if it's a reach? We probably didn't get there in the movie, but I just think it's because they couldn't with the actor. That's my gut says.
Well, I think we're looking at it from the lens of 2022, when in 2013 there was a reason, there wasn't any good footage, but there was a reason there wasn't any good footage, because he wasn't that good.
Yeah.
And he was playing in a second tier league of the 40th most popular sport in Greece. So I think that was a part. He wasn't that good. So it was a leap. And it. I think we're looking at it from now, where it feels like a huge leap. Obviously, this guy's one of the best players in the world, but then it was, you know, more of an incremental leap, but it still was a leap. So it did come out of nowhere. Harris came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's why he was the only guy who, I mean, that felt, I guess that part is real. There was two agents that came up to Giannis and Thanasis, and I guess one was going to represent each, and those guys were real. But I guess there weren't a lot of takers for Giannis and Thanasis way back then. I mean, so that part is real. It was a leap for sure.
Well, let's take our first break here on Film Session, breaking down Rise. When we come back, we can continue to talk about our favorite moments of the movie, some of the perplexing parts of this movie, random observations, and then we'll ultimately get to grading it. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect for
real. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep. You heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, back with Film Session, talking about the Giannis movie Rise. It's available to watch on Disney+. Matty O is joining us from California. I see Dreamshake here in the stream team saying, I don't like to hear there wasn't much of the story that took place in the NBA. What's the point? Dreamshake, as we said, this movie is not about that. That'll be not Rise 2. Yeah. Keep rising, whatever it's called.
Second Rise.
This is really, it truly is about his family and making it to the NBA. Like, it ends the, you know, on draft night. It ends him being drafted 15th overall by the Bucks. What do you think of the guy playing John Hammond?
Well, I was happy
who is that guy?
Yeah, who is that guy? Who's the real actor? Okay.
He's one of those guys. Yeah. You've seen him in a lot of stuff. Oh, that guy? Yeah, John Hammond? Yeah. Great drafting by John. Break down this fast break for me. Well, the coach said he wants it in 8 seconds. I can do it in 5. I've seen enough. I'll see you at the draft. Best scenes for me, they all came like one right after another. And it's basically when Giannis is learning about basketball. It started for me, huge laugh at the reveal going from like 2004 to 2007. I think Thanasis is riding his bike and he has Giannis on the back on pegs. But then in 2007, Giannis is like a gigantic guy. Looks like he's 8 feet tall riding on pegs on the back. They end up playing their first basketball and I was dying laughing when Giannis catches the ball and he's just holding the ball over his head and smiling and laughing that he's the tallest one out there. They couldn't get the ball. They eventually go to the internet cafe where we see Sophocles Short Giannis. I was excited to see Baby Shaq.
Baby Shaq,
and then it was cool to see them like really geeking out at watching Hakeem versus David Robinson. Like, I enjoyed that. And that was all like within 3 minutes of each other.
Yep.
So that was a highlight for me.
Yeah, sticking on the size angle, there was when Thanasis' check was rejected, as I said, Charles kisses his teeth, and then we see a shot of the boys in the bed, and Giannis has his head in his hand, and he's got the fingers sort of up by his eyeballs, and he's got huge fingers. Well casted. Those fingers were very well casted. That felt real. And I like when David Stern ended up shaking Giannis's hand, the late David Stern. That was done well. You know, that was...
Well, it was real footage. Oh, no, sorry.
That wasn't Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
That felt real.
It actually looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Nora mentioned that, too. I forgot about that.
Is that Giannis Antetokounmpo? No, that's not.
Yeah.
Right.
And speaking of the fingers... You see, the actor is always doing this, right? Like, the actor who plays Giannis, I feel like I'm blanking on his name.
Uche.
Yeah. There is this mannerism where he's always sort of blowing on his hands, and he does that a lot in the movie, and I'm like, that kind of reminds me of Giannis. Oh. Like, it's just a small, tiny thing, but it really sort of brought him to life in as Giannis to me.
Yeah, Giannis had his fingertips on this movie. No pun intended. He fronted John Hammond. He made sure to give a little respect because all the other executives were what was the 76ers one? It was like agent number one, not agent number one. Like
basically, it was executive. Like 76ers executive. Or something like that.
Yeah, and then there was an OKC one, no name, but then Johnny Hammond got his name on there. For sure.
JT Plus has a decent question. Tass, did you hate the way they portrayed Greece? There was almost zero love. That's from JT Plus in the stream team. You agree or disagree or want to answer that?
Well, I think there wasn't a lot of love for Giannis Antetokounmpo growing up. And so, it felt real. It did feel beautiful, JD, because Greece is beautiful. But...
Fair.
What's that?
Fair, yes.
Fair, but at the same time, there was a lot of, overhead shots of the streets in Athens where everything looked dirty and filthy, because that is also Athens. There was a damn lot of pigeons early in this movie, because there's a damn lot of pigeons in Athens. If this was a real doc about the things, as we've said, that he went through, it could have been a lot uglier. And the racism that he saw, as you know, Matt brought up that one instance when he's on the basketball court. So it could have got a lot uglier. This is a Disney movie, and it got Disneyfied, but it could also have been a lot more Disneyfied. I think they did depict, some of the non-beautiful things about Greece.
Matt, what were some, other things, I guess, that you disliked about this movie, or made you laugh, or just random observations? We can jump around here.
Definitely the hardest I laughed was when his old coach, when they're all watching back in Greece during the draft, and Giannis gets drafted, and he just like says the least enthusiastic was, he goes, "Yeah, man, all right."
that sounded Jamaican there. But...
by the way, Jamaican Cool Runnings, another good Disney sports movie.
Cool. Sure.
Okay. It's possible to make a good Disney sports movie.
No, you're right.
And that guy's accent was... It was come and go.
We're talking about the coach.
Yeah,
with the beard.
It was Littlefinger-esque. You know, it was kind of there. It was kind of not there.
First of all, Tass, speaking of accents, complete vindication for you calling Giannis Yanni. That's how you've all, you know, you hear
complete vindication for me.
No, I mean, you hear analysts call him Giannis, or you even hear Giannis or whatever, but Tassi's been saying it right. No one else is saying it that way, but Tass is right.
I've been Americanized at times too for I think there was a few years stretch where I went Giannis. They call him Ugo at times in the movie.
Yeah, I like that.
That's his middle name. You had to know some stuff about the Antetokounmpo brothers to pick up on everything. But it was about the fam for sure. What else did you hate, Matt? Because there's
let me give you a real who cares. The guy that plays John Hammond in the movie. First of all, John Hammond, the guy from Jurassic Park, right? The owner of Jurassic Park. So this guy, in real life, his name's Taylor Nichols, and he was in Jurassic Park 3.
Oh, wow.
So that's just some research I just did.
Damn.
Imagine if I had time to really look into it. telling what I could uncover.
Yeah, I was trying to think, what did he do in Jurassic Park 3? No idea.
Probably got bitten in half.
Probably got.
It's a safe bet for anyone in Jurassic Park that's not Chris Pratt or Sam Neill.
Yeah, Sam Neill. Okay. He got eaten.
I to get us into some random notes here. I did really enjoy Harris. Every scene, mainly because everything he did, I found comical, and I think that's a big reason why I'm like, wait, why does this family trust him so much? Like, I thought they jumped to that really quickly, but. When he pulls up, did you see his parking job? When he
that was weird.
Rolls in after Paco takes off, and it's like great time. Look where he parks. I don't even. I'm not sure even where he is. He's still on the street. It feels like there's a driveway there because that's where they've been standing and talking. And we've seen their car there before, for crying out loud.
That's a Greek thing.
That's amazing.
Park anywhere.
Yeah, just pulls it up, and I'm going to park here and then walk all the way over.
Yeah,
to
you could have come so much closer to them. That's the weird thing.
So I love that, and then. Sticking with Harris at the Nike meeting, which we haven't even talked about. Look at the size of his shirt.
Oh, it's in the sleeves. It's like Aladdin sleeves.
It is so baggy in the sleeves, and I could not take my eyes off it. In fact, that's me chuckling at the bottom. I put that up as a caption.
You watch with closed captioning on?
No, I just grabbed the screen grab here. I didn't last night.
I do. I usually do. So, Tass has been saying that Charles was kissing his teeth. He was actually clicking his teeth.
Oh,
that
sounds
every time I'm close captioning. Clicks teeth.
Clicks teeth.
That's cool.
My biggest concern with the movie, they showed Giannis drinking a smoothie twice in this movie. Unforgivable.
Yeah. Hold on, though. Was it a milkshake or
you think
a
that was a strawberry
I think
milkshake?
It was a strawberry milkshake.
They should have explained.
You're right.
So he should have said, I love this milkshake at the very least. Yeah.
Oh, I love this strawberry milkshake. Because before his first start with his youth club there, and then when they come to America for the draft, I think he has a strawberry milkshake as well. But that thing looked The first one looked like a smoothie to me. The second one looked like a milkshake. Mm-hmm. But as we know, Giannis didn't get his first smoothie until 2014 in the United States. So
as we know.
You know, okay. That was my main takeaway.
I mean, it could have been a tip of the hat to smoothies. I did want to see a smoothie in this movie, so but I was like, that's a milkshake. That's a milkshake.
So you needed a line. You needed a line at the immigration office of them saying, hey, I know your kids are born here, but that's not a law in Greece. They're still not Greek citizens. And then when he orders the milkshake, the guy handing it to him being like, you know, or just one milkshake, just show us it's not a smoothie.
Right. I did love the line when, I guess it's the final immigration scene where they're actually getting the stamp to at least travel, or I forget what they're doing there, but it's a new
going
woman.
Going to the draft.
Right, to go to the draft, and there's the whole thing where there is the weirdest photo of the woman's son playing basketball.
Hated that.
What a weird scene that was. And then Giannis.
You can tell he worked hard by the way he positions the ball.
Yeah. And then he says, only the best players are chosen to play forward. And she was like, damn, I like these guys. Matt, you weren't a fan of that scene. What do you think of the Nike scene too, Matt? I thought that was a little
I guess his... That was his moment to make his big speech. Why should anyone identify with me? I guess that was decent. I don't remember anything about it other than that, to be honest.
Okay.
I just want to talk about how, luckily for Giannis's origin story, he found the friendliest streetball players in the world.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, imagine if I saw some people playing streetball, they were like, we need a fifth, or a fourth, or whatever. Can you play? And I've never picked up a basketball before, but I'm like, yes, I can play. And then they pass me the ball for the first time, and I just start walking with it. And they patiently go, you have to dribble. And then I'm like, okay. I would immediately get kicked out of that game. Instead, in this game, what happens is they're like, hey, you're pretty good. He's absolutely not. You should come to the youth club. You should come ruin our games there.
Yeah, but Matt, you already said why that probably happened, why they were so nice. It's, the third or fourth most popular sport in Greece, according to you? So they got to get all the players they can get. He's stopping playing soccer to come over here and play a little basketball?
Exactly.
We better be kind to him.
We need a fourth. He's like, for this game? They're like, no, for basketball in this country, we need a fourth person to play.
Matt, you said, I think before we went live, that you did have some notes on the NBA draft portion of the movie.
I saw Jay Billis's best available players that when they're watching ESPN at some point.
Yeah.
Number one, Ben McLemore. Number two, Nerlens Noel. Number three, Otto Porter. Number four, Trey Burke. Number five, Tony Bennett.
Yeah. all those guys.
Getting in my Tony Bennett jokes because I've said to you guys before, I was like, what a tragedy that Anthony Bennett was such a bust that we didn't get a chance to make any Tony Bennett jokes.
That's fair.
So true.
Luckily, they made this movie so we could get him in.
Could have photoshopped him duetting with Lady Gaga. It would have been great.
Yeah. But somebody had said it in the stream team earlier. It truly shows you how shitty the 2013 draft was.
I laughed out loud when they read Michael Carter Williams' name as the 76ers draft pick. I just hadn't really put it together at that point, but that got a chuckle from me, as did the part where, I don't know, it was either Harris or Kevin is like, Dwight Bikes, Deontay Garrett, Jamichael Green. A lot of guys don't get drafted and make it. Yeah. I was like, all right, that's one for the sickos right there. Dwight Bikes. I don't even think we've said the name Dwight Bikes in 5 years. No. Admit it.
It's been a while. I wonder what Nerlens Noel thinks about watching this movie, though.
He's pissed.
He caught a stray in this movie, where they show him, they're debating how high he's going to go, and then somebody just says, it's got to be one of the agents. He's got no offensive game. Just bury him. And it's we know the type of player he turns out to be, so of course he can do that. Oh, man, poor Nerlens. JD, did you have a... what did you think of how they did the ending of the movie, bringing in real footage from the draft and how they just handled all of that?
Yeah, I loved that part. And again, I loved the going back to his MVP speech. And I actually, to be honest, I forgot that his dad died. And so it was actually a bit of a shock the way I was like, oh, shit. Yeah, I forgot. And he was young, 54 when he died or something. And
those end credits titles, they were how they not slipped it in there, the death of his father, but it was handled, I thought, really oddly.
Yeah.
Because it was all like amazing.
Right.
Alex, you know, in the league. Kostas, I mean, it's like an incredible achievement. Incredible. And then the music, I think, like literally drops.
It stops, yeah.
And then it's like, here's the slide about Charles passing, not even seeing Giannis reach MVP levels.
Yeah.
And then it was like back to like, you know, emotional but like inspiring,
right,
kicking ass sort of. It was just sort of, I thought that was just weird.
Yeah.
It was jarring.
It was jarring, yeah. That's
about totally, right. Yeah. The jarring is, it was like a gut punch. It was like, oh shit. Like, because you're like on top of the world and then, oh yeah, he died.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Do they also borderline make it look like that the Nazis and Alex are as good as Giannis in the final scenes?
Yeah,
no, that's okay. That's
but they're
okay.
They're selling the movie on
first. It's fine.
Three totally brothers to ever win.
But okay, here's a good example of like Disneying it up in a good way, right? Because after they read, I forget what it is, maybe the third pick or the fourth pick, they are so nervous. They're like pissed off. They're like, "What? No, we're not going to this team. We're not going to that team." Like, now, Giannis coming over was, like we've already said, like almost a bit of a reach. So I can't imagine they expected him to go in the top five, let alone the top 10. And I think a lot of people said that he was a reach at 15, didn't they?
Yeah.
In real life. So there's a good example of they're ratcheting up the intensity by making it seem like they're genuinely upset that he's not going third, fourth, or fifth in the draft. And that's totally fine. And that scene, that draft scene, aside from the beginning of the movie, is the best part of the movie.
Yeah, JD gave me a well actually today because I came in. I said I was kind of surprised that they didn't show that the Antetokounmpo Bros actually went to Atlanta before they went to New York City for the draft, because they were welcomed here in the city of Atlanta by Danny Ferry and Mike Budenholzer try. They wined and dined him there first, and they were guaranteed to pick him. Where they had 16 and 17, I think?
They had 17.
They had 17, yeah. 17, which was the supposed cutoff.
Oh, okay. So
and they were absolutely 100% going to...
They were going to take him.
To the point where Danny Ferry can't even talk about it till this day. Like, he's upset about it.
So you brought up the good point that if they actually included that in the movie, then there wouldn't have been that tension of him being drafted.
Right.
That was a good point.
Well, there was a big... Yeah, the whole part, the tension at the draft was not only is he going to get drafted, there's that layer, but it was more like he's getting drafted, but it's like, oh, let's hope he doesn't go to a team that's just going
to
say...
Go back to
back and play in Europe, and that's going to... What's that going to do to the family and our issues and visa statuses and stuff like that, so...
Yeah. I think it was a good decision to keep the Hawks. I almost said Sox because... Rhymes with Hawks, but also they gave him socks as part of a package of stuff. Like, and he was so moved by the fact that he had gotten free socks from the Hawks. So,
because
it rhymes, and also because he comes from nothing, poverty, and just the simple gift of some socks could have been something cool in the movie, but also you know, whatever. There's only so much time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any other random notes, Trey, that you've got written down there?
Did they edit out booze during David Stern's walking out?
Yes.
Because he says, "Thank you for the enthusiastic Brooklyn welcome." They're booing him at that point. Yeah. I have to imagine. I haven't gone back and watched the start of the draft, but I thought that was pretty funny because, I mean, it doesn't play like that at all. It's just like, hey, I'm walking out to announce the draft like I always do. They're going crazy for me out here.
Yeah, that stood out to me as well, Trey. I was just like, he's getting booed.
Yeah.
Big time. Do you think that's the NBA saying, you know, started,
people wouldn't understand.
Obviously, Dan Stern's past. Yeah, exactly.
They wouldn't understand it was like a loving boo at the time. Like, this is what we do.
Yeah.
So, no doubt about it. That's why they edited it out. But if you were there watching the draft at the time, you'd be like, huh, that's not how it usually went when David Stern came out.
Right. I did like that they nailed the suit on the actor portraying Giannis. That was, you remember, he had that exact suit, if I remember correctly, when he got drafted there. And he was there, of course, because he went up on stage and did get a chance to shake Stern's hand, take the photo and all that. It was pretty wild. Anything else, Matty-O, on this movie?
Do we want to talk about the critical response to the film?
Yeah, let's do that. We do have one more break, but let's do that now, and then we'll take our break, and then we'll make our final grades or reviews of this movie. But yeah, what do you got?
Okay, well, did you say the Rotten Tomatoes score off the top? I can't remember.
I didn't, and I'll give it to you now. It's pretty solid. Critics score it, last I checked, on Rotten Tomatoes, 95%. Very, very high. Wow. And the audience score, based on 50-plus verified ratings, again, when I saw it, 80%. Hmm. What you, Matt, that's a lot higher than I feel like.
First of all, yeah. The most interesting thing is, sure, I mean, obviously I'm going to say that those are both too high, but fine, whatever. Mm-hmm. That the audience score, and this is clearly made for an audience, like a feel-good movie, were 15% lower than the critics. That, mm-hmm, that's right. Pretty crazy to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sure. Okay, but here's why I want to talk about Rotten Tomatoes, because I went just to check it out after I saw the movie to see what people thought about it. And you know how it gives little capsules of the reviews?
Yep.
So, okay, I'm going to read you a paragraph from the Saturday Evening Post, Bill Newcott. This is a little piece of his review. It says, "Don't turn away because you're not a Hoops fan. Even if you don't know a layup from a ledgy, with its charismatic cast, brisk pace, and stand-up and cheer finale, Rise takes its place among the likes of Rudy and Rocky as sports films that proclaim, with hard work, good intentions, and a motherload of faith, anything is possible." So first of all, no, it does not join the ranks of Rudy and Rocky. But if you don't know a layup from a ledgy, this guy obviously watches No Dunks.
That's because incredible.
No one that doesn't watch this show knows what a ledgy is.
Wow. Yeah.
Mind blown.
Yeah.
Okay, so Bill Newcott is a starter / No Dunks fan.
I guess so. Or one of us is Bill Newcott.
But then I do question how big an NBA fan Bill Newcott is if he doesn't know, because he's saying, if you don't know, oh, I guess, okay, fine. No, he's right. A layup from a ledgy. So he's saying a ledgy is the unknown thing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I think it's even more niche than
he
Bill
liked.
Newcott
he liked it that it rhymed as well, for yeah. sure.
And yeah. the alliteration.
Or alliteration. Yeah.
And if you
sorry,
go, if you go to the Wikipedia page, glossary of basketball terms, right underneath layup, it's ledgy, baby.
Interesting.
Oh, ledgy a hyperlink reference to. To that, remember when you did that blog post of like a glossary of terms?
There's no
to
credit
understand?
On this one, but luckily this is the free encyclopedia, so I can just update it here.
Yeah, report or flag that article.
Let's get that taken down. Okay, what else you got? Any other ones, Matt?
Or no? That was the only one. The only other thing I would say that I learned that Uche was not an actor. He saw a post on Instagram about how Giannis screenshotted a tweet saying that Disney was making a movie about his life, and they were looking for someone to play him and his brothers. And then this is Uche talking. So I just clicked on the link and I sent a video talking about myself, and then a few months later, I got a call back. For me, I was never an actor prior to this, so it was very weird to me. Blah, blah, blah. So he does a call back, he gets it. And then it says, that wasn't the end. There was more good news. Then a couple weeks later, they asked me if I had any siblings, and I said I had an older brother. And that led to the casting of Rob.
No,
isn't that crazy that,
that
they crazy. Ask before, oh, do you happen to have a brother? Because that might sway it. Like, they cast him, and then he happened to have an older brother that was also tall?
Yeah, it's wild. And they're not that bad at all. I mean, when you learn that they're not actors, really, like this is their first
I thought Thanasi was great, actually. Yeah. I thought he was a character.
I agree.
Yeah. Incredible. Incredible. I agree.
Make a movie about them. Giannis and Thanasi play them, though. How they became actors.
Wow. Oh, if they,
that'd be too crazy.
If the Agata brothers have two other brothers, or three other brothers, I guess. Oh, man. That would be really trippy. Yeah, we haven't talked about Alex and Kostas, the young bros. Hmm. They had some moments in this movie. Like, yeah, they were there for, you know, like they're peering out of the door when the older brother's getting yelled at, and they're
couldn't go on the top secret mission.
Right, right. But they play soccer. They play football with dad.
Yeah,
that's about it.
That's about it. Yeah, they didn't have much to do.
No, they were likable.
Yeah, they were likable.
Okay, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna take our final break, real quick one, and when we come back, we will hear from all of us here in the Classic Factory and Matty O, and ultimately grade this ourselves. And if you're here in the stream team, let's hear your grade here for Rise as well. We'll be right back.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, back in the Classic Factory, we are going to give our final reviews, ratings, I should say, for the movie Rise, the honest movie. But you have a quick little observation.
Yeah, quick note. One of the things I liked about this movie was that it was reshot in some of the places that Yannis played basketball in, the youth basketball court, Philadelphia, where he started playing, and also the first court where he was just the tall guy was the same court that he played on that he got invited to. And I was surprised that Nike didn't squeeze in that they had remade the court with Yannis' likeness on the court, because I think it looks so badass.
Sick.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's the actual court that he started playing basketball on the left. And then I think it was like 5-6 years ago where they remade it. I'm shocked Nike didn't somehow squeeze that in just the epilogue there. Show a shot
looks
of that because cool. It looks cool. Amazing.
They had that one court that Giannis was playing on where it was like crazy color blocking, like yellow and peach and maybe like a blue color. And they had like an overhead shot of him working out. That was incredible. That was a nice looking court.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that on Instagram.
There was a lot of overhead shots.
Definitely.
That looked sort of cool. Okay, well, let's grade this bad boy. I don't know if you want to do it, Matt. The classic Roger Ebert style with the stars. You want to give it a letter grade. You want to rate it out of 10. Go wherever you want. How is Matt Austin rating the movie Rise?
I'm going to giving it a 9.
Wow. Out of?
Out of?
Oh, no, it's not out of anything. 9 as in Trey Burke, the 9th pick in the 2015 NBA draft. No, it's not quite a 1, an Anthony Bennett, a Tony Bennett. Damn it.
Big T.
Obviously, like, I love a cheesy Disney sports movie. I actually recently, a few months ago, watched this movie, McFarland USA. Watch it. It's a running movie. And, it's not a perfect movie, but it's really good.
Okay.
And that's a movie that deals with, there's some gang violence, there's some definitely racism involved. I'm not happy to say that I didn't love it, especially because I do love this type of movie. I'm in awe of Giannis. I love him. Couldn't have more respect for him and his family and what they went through and the perseverance. It's an incredibly inspiring story. Like I said, I was, teary-eyed when I actually saw his real MVP speech. Unfortunately, I did not love this movie. Would not really recommend.
Okay, so you don't have an official something out of 10 for us here. It's not 9 out of 10. You're not giving it that.
What about, I thought you
how about 9 out of 30.
He's just giving it a Trey Burke.
It's a Trey Burke.
you could have got 9 and then Trey 3 out of 10.
Well, give it a Trey Burke.
Okay, hey, it's your grading system.
Giving it honestly a 3 because that's an Otto Porter, which is like, you don't want to use your third pick on Otto Porter,
right,
but at least it was
some
sort of functional.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, you want to change it to an Otto Porter Jr.?
maybe I'll change it to a 4, a Cody Zeller come and rescue me.
Good thing Cody the Zellers weren't the first three
well,
brothers
Cody
to
Zeller,
win championships.
Jesus. Yeah. Alex Len. Oy.
Yeah, do you think they would have made this movie if the Plumleys or the Zellers were the first three bros to win a title? Probably not.
No,
I don't
think so.
Okay.
Remember that time we saw Miles Plumley outside of that place in Inman Park, Matt? We saw Plumley. He's having a stroll.
Oh, yeah, yes, I do remember that. Yeah.
Of course you do.
Could
you forget? Yeah. Tass, let's go to you next, man. What'd you think of this movie? Your final thoughts and how you graded
it? Well, I'm excited about watching McFarland USA, I gotta say. honestly, legit. I need some inspiration because I'm trying to run.
There you
so
go.
So I need that in my life. And I was inspired watching Rise. It was probably not catered to me, but I, of course, as well respect the heck out of Yannis, so I wanted to watch every single minute of it. The beginning half an hour reeled me in enough. I loved seeing Charles raking the olives off the olive trees. Just seeing all of those scenic shots in Greece also reeled me in. I liked the music in this it wasn't American music. It was... a lot of it Nigerian, and so that reeled me in. I need a little more culture in my life. So that was wonderful. So I'm going out of 10, 7.5, 8.
Cause, oh, wow. Okay. KCP.
KCP, down with me. I don't know. You could tell me any name in that draft got drafted. I'd be like, yeah, he was drafted 9th. I don't know who was drafted in that draft. The other day when JD's like, hey, make sure you watch Rise. And I said, of course I'm going to watch. He goes, the thing that stands out to me, excuse me, was how crazy that draft is. JD was recalling the draft for me, that Tony Bennett was number one. And I don't remember any of Michael Carter Williams. It felt like they were...
That was a forgettable draft, man.
It was a forgettable draft. It almost feels like the Antetokounmpo brothers were laughing at... Like, that was a purposeful joke, it almost felt like. Getting MCW in there. But anyway, I'll go 8.
Okay.
8 for Giannis.
Pretty good score. Trey.
I came in thinking I was going to give this a Ben McLemore. 7 of 10. Ooh, 7 okay. of 10. But after having a chat with my friends here, I think I got to go more like a Nerlens Noel. A 6 out of 10.
Okay.
I liked it more than I thought it was going to, than I thought I was going to. But as we've talked more and more here, there's a better movie to be made here. And we're comparing it to a lot of good, like, Disney movies. But these are all theatrical releases. So for me, this is a good made for TV movie, which probably doesn't get much higher than a 6. So ultimately, even though he's very skinny and has no offensive game, a Nerlens Noel, 6 out of 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
JD.
Wow. Yeah, I wish you hadn't have said McFarlane USA, Matt, because I loved that movie.
Okay, here we go. Why don't you have me on to talk about it so I can rave instead of being a Scrooge.
Is it based on a true story?
Yes, it is.
Yes. Of course.
Who is it? Costner in that?
Yeah, it's Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner, wow.
Is he doing like a Yellowstone sort of accent on this? Grumbling and growling so the whole time?
Wow, okay. Yeah. So it's about Seth MacFarlane running a race?
Not quite.
Oh.
Anyway, I love Giannis. He's probably my favorite player in the league. I feel like I have a connection to him because of that 2 hours that we spent with him in his rookie year. Also, there's the Greek connection, and he has had a relationship with this show over the years as well, right? Tass calling him out, and then him actually responding to our, us giving him awards and him actually accepting them and having a nice, funny speech for them. He's just all around a great guy. So I want to root for him, and I want to root for this movie. And I did find it interesting, but only from that perspective, right? Like, only because I've met the guy and I love him and I was interested in his story. And the movie actually made me curious enough to actually go buy a book about basketball and start reading a book about basketball, which is pretty rare for me. So there is that. But I wouldn't recommend this movie to somebody when there's a McFarlane USA on the table. it's just not that good. It's a wonderful love letter to Charles Antetokounmpo. Absolutely. But there is, as Trey said, there is a much better movie in this story for sure. This movie is going to be inspiring. This story is inspiring no matter what happens, right? Like, there is no way you can't be inspired by the rise of Giannis and his family, and just where he came from to where he ended up is... It's a miracle, to borrow another Disney movie, another better Disney movie title. So I'm going to give it 4 out of 10.
Wow.
Yeah. JD, you don't want that on the picture of like a biopic, like you'll love Imitation Game, and then in small letters, if you've met Alan Turing.
That's right.
If you haven't met Professor John Nash, you're not going to love A Beautiful Mind.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
All right. A 4. That's lower than I thought you were going to get.
You know what? I like Trey. I came in, pretty hot. I was probably thinking a 6 or a 7, but I got talked out of it.
Okay, so we got a Burke. We got a Nerlens. JD just dropped a Zeller.
Yeah.
Did someone give it a Macklemore, or was that Trey's original?
Tass gave it a KCP.
I went KCP.
KCP. Yeah.
Oh, KCP. Okay, so Skeets, did you?
I guess I'm higher on this movie than you guys, which I can't believe.
Oh, sounds like you might be a CJ McCollum.
That'd be nice. Okay, here's what I like about the movie, and we've touched on a lot of this, but the color of the movie is really cool looking. I think the cinematography is shot pretty nice. Like, you said the courts, the African like clothing and all that, and like I think it looks a lot better than I thought it was going to look. And even to the basketball, and I think they made a smart decision not showing too much basketball, like stretching the actors thin on the court there, but just enough that it was like, okay, these guys can, they're solid enough. Yeah, was it a leap like Matt said that like suddenly Giannis is like getting drafted in the NBA? Yeah, probably in the movie sense, but it was sort of a leap in real life as we talked about. So I didn't mind that. The immigration stuff, man, that hit a little too close to home.
Yeah, I know, right?
Like, yeah. Jesus, like, yeah. And I'm not saying by any means like what the situation I'm in was comparable to that family and what they had to do moving from Nigeria to Turkey and then trying to like become, you know, citizens of a country they had kids in, for crying out loud. But like the whole visa stuff.
Yeah.
And just the double standard of needing a work visa, but you can't get a job unless you have a visa. Like, he even says that. He's like, what the hell? Like, how does this make any sense? Like,
yeah.
Super frustrating. And again, you know, just having a visa in this country, I could at least relate a little bit to that. I thought the father and mother were really, really good. I mean, I was rooting for them. Like, mm-hmm. And it's funny because you know how the movie's going to end. I know he's going to the NBA. But you did a lot of the times, like, you're like, you just like, they were very likable.
Yes.
And believable as as this big unit, the brothers and all that. So I like that about it. I couldn't believe it was 1:53 when I sat down to watch it, but it went fast for me. It really did. And I think, you know, Matt led this podcast by saying the first 20-30 minutes, like, you're hooked and you're like, whoa, what type of movie is this? There's some real stakes here. And then, okay, did it trail off a little bit and drag in some spots? Not a lot to me. I was like, at the end, I was like, okay. I would have liked to see a little more in the NBA and some of maybe the hijinks and even issues he probably had, Giannis, when he came to Milwaukee and all that. That would be fun. I mean, it's Coming to America in some sense. But sure, give us that movie.
Yeah, there's that story of somebody just giving him a ride. Remember,
he needed to hitch
a ride in his first year because he just... I guess he didn't know where he was going.
But it's not the movie that they were trying to make here. Like, especially, I think, Giannis. I think his long fingerprints are all over this movie.
Yeah.
Probably a ton of decisions of, like, trying to give more shine to his brother. And obviously the Francis angle of things. And, of course, like what his mother and father had to overcome. And it could have been so much more about him. And I just have this weird feeling, just not knowing him, but of course, like, having an idea of the type of person he is, that he's like, I don't want to do that. So if that's what you want, we're not doing it.
Right.
So I get why the movie is the way it is. So I liked it. Now, am I going to watch it again? No. Do I wish I watched it on an airplane? Absolutely.
Ooh.
It
would
have been a
great,
nice airplane movie.
Airplane movie.
Nice 2 hours.
That's a great point.
You know, it's like...
airplane movie.
Yeah. But I watched it at home and I enjoyed it, so I will give it... I'm going to go with Tess. I'm going to give it an 8, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's high.
It's not a bad movie, though.
It really isn't. I agree. This is the lowest score I've ever given a movie that I like. I like this movie. I liked it. I just thought it could be so much better. So, and again, I don't think I would recommend it unless you're a huge Bucks fan or a huge Giannis fan or
a Paco fan.
Pac, yeah.
I mean, the number one scout, you know.
If you like scouts, then this is
the top guy in Greece for the third sport.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. You liked it, but you can't give it a very high score. And you
that's
can't
why,
recommend
that's
it.
Why the critic's score is higher on Rotten Tomatoes than the audience score, because everybody likes it. But to get a like, to go into the 95%, all you got to do is say, yeah, I liked it. You don't have to give it a high score. You don't have to. People aren't saying this is a 9.5 out of 10.
Right.
It's probably more like an 8, like you guys are saying.
Yeah.
So you get the 95 and 80 split.
Yeah. I don't know. Matt, any final thoughts, my man, as we wrap this up?
Oh, it's something that just came to me. When you podcast in the past, that's your ego. When you podcast in the future, that's your pride. When you podcast in the present, that's humility. Okay, none of you are basketball fans, I guess. You don't remember that speech that Giannis gave?
No, there was... Yeah, no. That's the... is that the Nike...
No, it was a press conference, and someone asked him, you don't play with a lot of ego. Where did you learn that? For such a young player, most players don't learn that until they're in their 30s. And he, like off the dome, just gave, like, when you focus on the past, that's your ego. Focus on the future, that's your pride. Focus on the present, that's humility.
Come on, Charles told him that at some point.
Yeah, it feels
for
like
sure.
Okay, maybe, but he had the answer ready.
Charles and Vera had a lot of, like, boom, big lines. Like, you know, of course, the whole the family scores, we, score, all score. We all score. Yeah, yeah, that, family, you know, scores. There's many others.
That's a beautiful message, and, you know, mm-hmm. I think they did a good job portraying that message, so... I would like to see this movie made from Thanasis's point of view.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know. Because, again...
Real Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
Well, the guy made the NBA. He's in the NBA, Thanasis, and he was a top prospect. He was the guy, originally. And just to see his younger brother overshadow him and... by all accounts, he's just super selfless guy too. Like the yeah. sacrifices that he has made and that the family has made. You know, I just it's interesting to me. Maybe
it was great parenting. Yeah.
They are the nicest people. I mean, it is. It's a real. Well, what's I guess most movies are about that. Good things happen to bad people, mm-hmm. or bad things can happen to good people. This was a good things happen to good people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. It's true.
Right. You're right.
It's great to see. Guys, let us know what you thought of Rise. I know you guys are in the stream team right now. I like Carlos saying, I don't know if I'm going to watch this movie now. I should have watched it first. Yeah, that would have been smart there, Carlos, but that's okay.
Reviews first.
But email us your thoughts on Rise, nodunks@theathletic.com. You can tweet them in too, @nodunksinc, or leave them in the YouTube comments. Matty-O, can't thank you enough for jumping on here and breaking down this movie. What's going on in your world over there? Anything exciting? We saw you, of course, in Vegas at the...
Yeah, I saw party. You a couple... I mean, much like the song that we sang 15 times in Las Vegas. I'm taking it easy.
Oh, wow. All right.
Been running down the road?
Oh. Actually, this week I did loosen my load.
In the shower? Shower?
Yeah. Not even really what I meant. I meant the other way, but sure.
You took a dump in the shower? Oh, that's weird.
Well, it is Door City over there.
Yeah, though. Yeah, yeah. Let's rave about that.
Yeah.
Now, that's a show.
You want to talk about the rehearsal, do you?
Oh, loved it.
All right. We probably got another one coming out this weekend, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Friday night.
Tonight.
Oh, tonight. Oh,
is it Friday?
I thought it was Sunday. That's exciting.
Let's watch it. You got a TV in here?
You want a live podcast?
Yeah, sure.
Us watching the rehearsal.
Oh, yeah. Five old men talking about how they're excited for Friday night because their show is coming up.
Can I stay up till 11 p.m.? That's the question.
Oh, wow.
Come over here, JD. 8 p.m.
I know. Let's move the show out to L.A., guys.
You should. No, do it at night after the games. That way when people wake up, it's right there for them.
All right. Okay. All right. We're still on the air.
Rusty, man.
All right, guys. Let's hear your thoughts on Rise. We will be back next week. We got some NBA podcasts. We got some No Bunts, our baseball podcast. No breaks because we got a race this weekend.
We got a race.
Where are we racing? France?
Yes.
Hot as hell in France.
That's what they're saying. Watch your engines.
I think it's like, I think I saw a little practice this morning. They're saying 60 degrees Celsius down on the track. 60!
That's too hot.
That's weird.
That is honestly too hot.
My goodness.
Get an air conditioner.
Anyway, all those podcasts are coming next week and a whole lot more. So we'll see you then. Have a great weekend. Thanks again, Matty O. Clipper Bros!
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. Really, Matt should have just kept that Giannis quote that you just dropped for this, right?
So I could regret it twice?
No. Oh, why would you regret it? How about? Okay, so it was about, you know, being in the moment, right?
Okay.
Carlos on the stream team just said he regretted not having watched the movie. Can you sort of transform Giannis's quote to Carlos?
Okay.
Yeah, you can use your pen and paper and craft something.
Yeah, we got time. Like, Carlos, what's up?
writing it
I do
down.
Like how many pages you apparently printed about this hell. Movie.
I heard a lot of paper.
Look at this.
This guy's prepared. Don't watch movies in the past because
someone's already podcasted.
Just watch movies in the present because that's true humility. Is it?
Embrace your
test. I regret it a third time now.
I'm sorry. No, you shouldn't have regretted it. Your presence is a gift.
Hey, look, when one podcaster screws up a joke, the entire podcast really screws up a joke. All right, embrace the weekend, people.